Begin the current daf, Masechet Tzivachim, daf Kuf Yud Ches. Begin 10 lines down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues explaining the halachas from the previous daf, which quoted a braisa that elaborated the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, regarding the chronology of the Jewish people in their regards to the Avodah with Karbanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, for the first 14 years, the Bama Gedolah, the public altar, was in Gilgal for those 14 years, 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing land of Eretz Yisrael. And we had 5 different opinions mentioned in the Braisa regarding the status that the Jewish people had at that time. Now, every one of the first 4 Tanoim agreed that regard to the Tzibur, the public as a whole, regarding their obligations, they were able to bring every carbon that they were able in, let's say, the oil mail that was in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, they were able to do the same thing in those 14 years when they're in Gilgal. However, they had machleks regarding different elements, regarding the Nesachim, regarding the Chiyuvim of a Yachid, regarding Mincha and Nazir. Now, on that, the Gemara quotes the 5th opinion mentioned in the Braisa, Amamar. Reb Shimon, he says, he disagrees with everyone, which we explained their opinions on the previous stuff. He says that no, even regarding the Tzibur, V'chulu, etc., that they weren't allowed to bring all of their obligations. Rather, the Karban Pesach and obligatory Karbanis, which had a set time, regarding those were the ones that were brought in the Bama Gedayla in Gilgal, but not every carbon. Even the Tzibur couldn't bring carbonus that, let's say, the Sira Abodizaro, the Parhelm Dabishal Tzibur, that they didn't bring. And that is the Gemara Maitim of the Reb Shimon. What's the reason Reb Shimon, whereas we said in the previous staff that Isha Yosha Be'in of Yasa, we said that only the individual couldn't bring Chayvis, but the Tzibur could. What's the reason for Reb Shimon's inference that, no, the Tzibur couldn't bring just any Chayvis, rather had to be like the Pesach or obligations that had a set time? So says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, which is actually the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes, of Yasa B'nei Yisrael as Pesach B'Gilgal, so rather it's brought on the side that the exact wording in the Pasuk is V'yachnu B'nei Yisrael B'Gilgal, that the Jewish people rested in Gilgal, V'yasa as a Pesach, and they made the Karban Pesach. Now that asks the Gemara, Pshita. Well, it's obviously that they did. Why is the Pasuk mentioning that? Of course they have to make a Karban Pesach. That's an annual obligation on their entirety of the Jewish people. Ella rather, Hakamash Milan, this is what the Pasuk is teaching us, and this is the opinion of Reb Shimon. Techaivais Kein Pesach Hudakarb, what type of obligations did they bring in those 14 years in Gilgal? Those that are similar to the Karban Pesach. Halav Kein Pesach like Karb, those that are not similar to the Karban Pesach were not brought. Meaning, it has to be obligations of the Tzibur that have a set time. But those that don't, even though they're obligations to bring, like the Parhelm Dabishal Tzibur, when the Tzibur does a sin based on the erroneous ruling of Sanhedrin, those Karbanos they didn't bring in those 14 years in Gilgal. Now, V'idach, however, those other Tanaim that disagree with Reb Shimon, Mibayalei, they require that Pasuk to teach a different lesson, and therefore not as extra to teach that only those Karbanos which were similar to Pesach did they bring, rather, look at Reb Yechanan, like Reb Yechanan had taught. Darm Reb Yechanan, Mishum Reb Noah, he said over Nimr Reb Noah that Ariel, an uncircumcised individual that became tameh from coming in contact with a corpse, Mekabel Hazah could receive the spraying of the Paraduma ashes on day 3 and day 7 of his purification process, even though at that time he's uncircumcised, and he'll be purified from tumas mess to be able to touch kachin. Now, the way we know that Allah is from this pasuk, because the pasuk says in Yeshua, Bayasas a Pesach B'Gilgal, that they made the Karban Pesach in Gilgal, which that sounds like that they fulfilled the obligations of the Karban Pesach, which requires 2 things. A person to do the Karban Pesach, as the Pasuk says explicitly, requires that he has to be circumcised, and he also has to be tar, has to be pure. Now the thing is that Gilgal, they came in the first place, Gilgal was the first 14 years, right when they crossed the Jordan going into Eretz Yisrael. Now the majority of the Jewish people were uncircumcised in the desert. As the Pasuk says, Lo Moly, they didn't circumcise. Now the Gemara in Yevamah says, that on the 10th of Nisan is when they crossed the Jordan, and the Jewish people were as of yet uncircumcised. The reason for that is because they become weakened by the journey, and it's dangerous to be circumcised and travel. Rather, on the 11th of Nisan, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, is when they circumcised. So it comes out that at that point in time, they were Tamei Mason. The reason for that is because the majority of the Jewish people in the sojourn in the desert had become impure for coming in contact with corpses because all their fathers died in all those 40 years when they were in the desert, and they became Tamei by burying them. Now, if an Orel, an uncircumcised person, would not be able to be purified with Azah, to purify him even though he's in a state of Arla, which anyways he can't bring the Karban Pesach then, but then they would not have had time to purify themselves through the spraying of the Paraduma ashes if it was only going to be when they circumcised. because the halacha requires that you have to have a distance of 3 days between the two different sprayings, which is usually done on day 3 and day 7. So you have to have, after day 3 when you get sprayed, you have to have day 4, day 5, day 6. And then on day 7 you get sprayed. Now the problem over here would be that if they wouldn't be allowed to be sprayed with the Paraduma Ashra until after they're circumcised on the 11th of Nisan, so it comes out that the first one's going to be then on the 11th of Nisan after they circumcise. Then the second spraying is only going to be on the 15th of Nisan when you missed it already. The Karban Pesach has to be slaughtered on the 4th of Nisan, as the Gemara teaches us in Yavamas, that of Ayin Aleph and Beis. So therefore, what does it teach us? Be'asa b'nei Yisrael is a Pesach b'Gilgal. What that's teaching is not that it had to be their Karbanos in Gilgal was similar to the Karban Pesach. No, to say that even that first year, they brought the Karban Pesach in Gilgal. How so? Must be because an Aral, uncircumcised person, could be purified from Tumas Mes, which they had, even in their state of being uncircumcised and only later circumcised. But then they were allowed to bring the Karban Pesach because they were purified in the state of Arelos. Now, continuing on this opinion of Reb Shimon, Tana Tana Kamed Rav Ada Bar Ava, there was a teacher of Brises that taught in front of Rav Ada Bar Ava, in the opinion of Reb Shimon, that said, Ein bein bama gedoy labama katana. There was actually no difference in those years in Gilgal between the public altar and the private altar. Ella Pesach v'chayves hakavu lemizman, which is exactly like we quoted Reb Shimon's opinion, the Karban Pesach, and those obligations of the tzibur that had a set time for them. Now, that Girsa continues, Amalei, so he said to him, the one who was taught, said the Brisa, to targum masnitach, you should interpret your Brisa that said that what they did bring, which was different than the private altar, what they did bring by the public altar were obligations that had a set time. So he said, you have to translate what that means to say is ba'ilas chayva. What type of obligation that had a set time? Karbanas ilas. For example, the carbon oila of a tamid every single day, the carbon was totally burned on the mizbeach, or the carbon masafin that are brought by the tzibur, those carbonists that are oila, those are the carbonists that they brought in the Bama Gedayla in Gilgal. Why? Because the ikka oilas nadava. Those, an oila that has an obligation, the carbon oila itself could also be brought as nadava. Now, in contrast, regarding carbonist chatas that have a set time. For example, the Si'iri Regalim of the Tzibur. The Tzibur brings, on Yom Tovim, brings certain higos, which are Karbanos Chatas. Although those are Chayves HaKavu Lemzman, those Karbanos they did not bring in those 14 years in Gilgal, even on the Bama Gedayla. As he explains, because the E, because if you're going to translate that the obligation that have a set time was talking about Chatas, that even those were included, that that's what they brought, those sin offerings, and the Girsa takes out the next words and instead inserts Chatas Nedava Mi'ika. Do you think that there is a chatas that can be brought as a donation, which that same corollary of what you're bringing obligatory of a chatas in the Bama Gedayla could be brought by the Bama Ketana private altar, which was only allowed to be neder in the dava, which is donated and brought by a vow? In other words, because obviously what the halacha is teaching us is that was not brought, according to Rabbi Shimon, by the Bama Gedayla, which he says really in all elements was the same as the Bama Ketana. He said, but there was two exceptions. What did he say? He said, except for the Karban Pesach, and regarding obligations that would also be able to be donated on the Bama Ketana. How do we know it didn't translate it like that? Because his words were, El Pesachim, the only exceptions by the Bama Gedolah were Pesachim, the Karban Pesachs, and Chayvis HaKavu LeMizman, and obligations that have a set time. Now, if you would think to interpret that, what does it mean that Chayvis HaKavu LeMizman means any obligation of a set time, even including the Karban Chatas, then why does Reb Shimon say in his exception, Pesachim? What do you mean? He should have just said, there's no difference between the Bama Gedayla and the Bama Ketana, only Chayves HaKavu LeMizman. And that would have included the Karban Pesach, because that's also obligation that has a set time. Rather, must be what Reb Shimon is saying, and this is what he's telling to the teacher of the Brises, when he says, Ela Pesachim, the first exception is Karban Pesach, that's telling us that that's something that was brought at the Bama Gedayla that didn't have any corollary. There was none of that type that was brought at the Bama Ketana at all. And then the second exception he was saying, now other things that was brought on both of these Bamas, on the Bama Ketana and the Bama Gedayla, that there's no difference between them. The only difference between them was regarding that what is brought at the Bama Ketana, which are only in the Davis, in the Bama Gedayla were brought that same type of obligations with which have a set time. Now that would only include Ayla, which could be brought as a Nadav in the Bama Ketana, and not Chatzis, which wouldn't be able to be brought as a Nadava in the Bama Ketana. Now that is the Gemara, okay, fine. So obviously it's not Chatzis, But how does he know it's specifically Ayla? V'lugma b'minchas chayva, but he could say he's talking about an obligatory flour offering, which you could have the corollary by both, that you'll have a minchas nedava by the bama katana, by a private altar, and the ha'ikah chavitin. But there's also that by the bama gedayla, that's more than just the bama katana, where you have the obligatory flour offerings of the kohen gadol, which is every single day that he brings the minchas chavitin, which are obligations that have a set time. And it's also something that could have a corollary being brought as nadava, because a mincha could be brought as nadava. So I don't know, it's only oila and not chatas. Maybe it's also a mincha. And that says the Gemara, no, because kesava, Rabba held that in this Tana, ein mincha babama. There is no flower offering that's brought on a private altar, because the pasuk says, zavachim, that it's karbanis that are slaughtered, and not something that is done with taking one's fist, which is regarding the flower offering. Moreover, as Rashi points out, he couldn't have explained it as the Shalmei Tzibur of Shavuos, which, what do you mean? So you have that's only brought on the Bama Gedayla, and you also have donated Shalom on the Bama Ketana? No, because the Shalom that's brought on the private altar is not similar to the Shalmei Tzibur, although that's also called Shalomim, that's brought on only the public altar, which is a Chiv of the Tzibur, because the Shalmei Tzibur are considered Kachay Kachim, in contrast to most Shalomim, and the one that could be brought on Bama Ketana is Kachim Kam, so it wouldn't be considered the same thing to say that, oh, something that could be brought as Nadava on the Bama Ketana. The Bama Gedayla, the only thing he had over that was it could also bring obligations that have a set time. Therefore, it must be interpreted as Oilas Chayva were the ones that they brought in Gilgal, but not Minchas, Menachas, and neither Chatalis. Now the Gemara continues and says that the Mishnah continues. So after the 14 years in Gilgal, Sabol L'Shilei B'chulu. So they came to Shilei, and there were many years that's where the primary service of the Tzibur was in Shilei, and where actually all types of Bamas were forbidden in that period of time. Now it says, ask the Gemara, Manan Amilim, where do we know what the Mishnah had said, that the structure of the Mishkan and Shiloh was a building out of stone on the bottom, but the top was not like a structure, but rather it had curtains as for the roof made out of fabric that how do we know that it was that middle breed, that it wasn't totally a building, but it wasn't totally as a tent? So Amr B'chir Barabba Amr Yechon, he says, because Kasev Echlema, one pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says, Vativei'ehu Beis Hashem Shiloh, that she brought him to the house of Hashem, which was in Shiloh. So it calls it a bias. But Kasev Echlema, one pasuk says in Tehillim, V'yitesh Mishkan Shiloh, Hashem forsake the Mishkan in Shiloh. Oihel Shichem Ba'adam, the tent that he resided, which was by man. Uksiv and Sotu says later on with it, says, V'yimis Ba'oil Yosef, he was disgusted by the tent of Yosef, U'b'shevet Ephraim Le'bach, and he didn't choose the tribe of Ephraim. Now, how we resolve it? Is Mishkan Shiloh a bias, like the first pasuk says? Or is it a oil, like the second pasuk says? On that says the Gemara, Lo Hoysa Sham Tikra, there wasn't any roof. Ela Avonim El Mata, and rather it was stone on the bottom, V'yiriyas Mol Malon, and it was curtains on the top. And that was what the pasuk refers to, that when they came to the resting place, which refers to Shiloh, which was this mixed type, which was in the bottom stone and the top with curtains. Now the Mishnah continued and said that regarding Shiloh, Kachay Kachim, so the holiest, highest level of karbanos, chatas, nashim, all those were only eaten within the Urias, the curtains. But the Kachim Kalim were low level karbanos, who are able to be eaten wherever one could see from wherever they are, the Mishkan and Shiloh. Says Gemara, not immediately, where do we know this halacha from, that one was allowed to eat a lower level karbanis from the area of where you could see the Mishkan and Shilet? So Amar Beishi, he says, because the Amar Kar, the Pasuk says in the Varim, Hisham alacha, safeguard for yourself, Pentalo ilasecha, maybe you're going to bring up and sacrifice your oilis, b'chal makam asher tira, in any place which you're going to see. Now this Pasuk is going on in the context where it says that when you're going to come to Menucha, then you can't do any more bamis, you can't do shchut echutz, and what that refers to is to Shilet. So it's telling you that you're not allowed to sacrifice. So b'chamokum asher tira yatam al, saying wherever you could see, don't sacrifice. But it's inferring, but you could eat it, because eating generally gives you a wider range geographical location, as we find by like shlum, kachem kalam. So it's saying you just can't sacrifice wherever you could see. But the inference is, but you could eat wherever you could see. On that is the Gemara, but Ema, maybe say a different inference. Maybe say b'chamakim shatarayi atamala. Wherever you could see, you can't sacrifice. Aba atasevech b'chamakim shatir, but you could slaughter wherever you could see. And then Rabbi Yannis says no, because Amakar the pasuk says after that sham tala, there you should bring it, referring to the area of the temple itself. B'sham tas, and there you should do it, which refers to slaughtering, and therefore that's compared to the sacrifice. And just like the burning cannot be wherever you could see, so to the slaughtering, and therefore the exception must be the consumption that could be. They were able to eat the kashrim kalam, wherever one could see from that distance, the Mishkan and Shilei. Another source, Rabbi Dimi Bar Chasam, he says, no, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Gittintam and Beis, V'loi Sa'ana Shilei. And to him was the Tanas of Shilei, which Rashi says he searched, but he didn't find such a Pasuk. But he did find, as the Gemara is going to bring this Pasuk later on, Pasuk in Yeshua Tazayin, where it's talking about the boundaries, and it says, to the east of Ta'ana Shilei. But the primary thing that the Gemara is expounding is, why is Shilei called Ta'ana Shilei? What's that word, Ta'anas? It's Makam Shekala Raya Isa. It's referring to the place where whoever would see it, Misanechala would groan over it, Alachilis Kachim Shalai, regarding the consumption of his Kachim. Meaning, Ta'anas is the word of, like we find in Eicha, Ta'aniya Vaniya, groaning and moaning. Where whoever would see the area of Shilei, after its destruction, would moan because he would recall his consumption of Kachim Kalan that he was able to usually eat from the place where he was right now, where he was able to see. And therefore, it was called Ta'ana Shilei, where the person would groan when he would see Shilei, because generally, where he was right now that he could see, he was able to eat Kachim Kalan. Another source, Rabbi Avoham, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, by the Birchus Yaakov, to Yosef, it says, Ben Pyrus Yosef, the son of charm is Yosef, Ben Pyrus, the son of charm, Ali Ayin, he over the, or to the eye, over the eye. Now what that means in the Drush, in the interpretation is, Ayin Shalei Ratzis Alazin B'lehanes Midavir She'en Shalei, the eye that didn't want to feed and have pleasure from something which wasn't his, which was referring to the wife of his master, Eishes Paitifar, where he wasn't willing to submit himself to his nus, Tiske v'teichel k'malei einahu, so he merited that to eat in also the distance of his eyesight, which the way the pasuk is being interpreted, Ben Pyrus Yosef, the word Pyrus, instead of charm, is referring to the word like perivirivya, regarding being multiplying, which is the place where the consumption of eating the kachim was increased to him, according to the eye, like the pasuk says, aliyin, meaning Shilei was in the portion of Yosef, as the pasuk says, we quoted this before, v'yimis bo'el Yosef, which refers to Shilei, because it talks about b'yitosh mishkan Shilei over there, and it's saying, since his eyes did not gaze at what was not his, so then he merited, also in the term of gazing eyes, that for Shilei, which was in his portion, was able to be eaten wherever the eye could gaze and see the mishkan of Shilei. Rabbi Yisi b'Reb Chaninam, he brings a source in Devar. Says Ritzayin Sheikh Nisneh, and the willingness of the one who resides in the thorn bush, the way the Drush has it, the homiletic interpretation is Ayin Shalei Ratzis Alahanis Medavishayin Shalei, the eye that didn't want to have pleasure from that which wasn't his, meaning the way this Ritzayin is referring to, through his desire that he didn't want to have sustenance from gazing at something which wasn't his, Tiz Kibbutaychel Bein Asnun will merit and will eat between those who hate him. That's Sheikh Nisne. The word Sne could also be like with a sin of he is residing amongst those who hate him, because in Shilei, the kachim was able to be eaten even the boundaries of the other tribes who hated him. That's the story where the brothers sold him as a slave. They wanted to kill him because they hate him. In Shilei, you were able to eat wherever the eye could see, even in the other Shvatim's boundary, which not even in that area, but as long as you could see it, you were able to eat the kachim kalam. Now, Tanu B'Litin the Brisa that explains this halacha, that Raya Sha'amr, this halacha that we said, that as long as one can see the Mishkan Shilei, they were able to eat in that place, low-level kachim. Now, the Girsa takes out the next line, and the text is, it's kol sheraya vein davar mafsik. As long as he could see, and nothing's interposing, as long as nothing's getting in the way, that qualifies the halacha of kol sheraya. Now, Amar Le Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim, Le Reb Elazar, he says, Azbalach, I'll explain to you an example. Is Kagan Bekanish to the Ma'in, like the shul, like the synagogue in Ma'in, where from there they were able to see directly Shilei, and there was nothing interposed, nothing in between that would stop a person's gaze from seeing the place of where Shilei, the Mishkan Shilei was. Now Amra Papa, he says, Raya Sha'amr, this that it says that you have to be able to see it, Lai Raya Kulai, didn't mean that from there you have to be able to see the entirety of Shilei. El Raya Mitzvah, as long as you see part of it, that's considered an area of where you could eat the Kachim Kal. Now, Bayra Papa asks, what's if Oymid V'Raya? Let's say a person is standing, he could see the Mishkan Shilei. But Yoshev Ein Arayah, but if he's sitting, he can't see it. My, what's the halacha? So to Bayer B'Yirmer, he asked, Oymid Al-Gabi Hanacha V'Raya. If someone is sitting by the ravine, which is an area that goes lower down, of some type of a groove in the ground, but if he's standing at the edge, V'Raya, and he could see. But b'teicha nachal v'ein aroi. But if he's in the ravine, then he can't see. My, what's the halacha? Take a letter saying it's not clear what status that would have regarding if that's considered roya to be able to eat kashrim kalam over there or not. Now, relating to this discussion of shiloi, the Gemara says, Ki asr Avdimi, when Avdimi came, Omar Rebbe, said the name of Rebbe as follows. He says, B'shleish mekaymes sharz tashchin al Yisrael. There were three places that the divine presence rested on the Jewish people. They were b'shiloi, Neve Givon, which were other places which there it was the period before the Beis HaMikdash that the Mishkan was there, and the Beis HaLamim, and the everlasting home, which refers to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Now, Ubekulon leisharz el b'chal b'yaman, in all three of them, the divine presence was only resting in the portion of the tribe of Binyamin. Shem, like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, which was by the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Shvatim, it says, Levinyamin Amar, to Binyamin was said, that he's the beloved of Hashem, that he will rest with confidence, Chayfif Alav Kalayim, that he hovers over him the entire day. What does that mean? And this is referring to the Hashem, to the Shechina, the Yishkain, Levatach Alav, Kal Chafifis, all the hoverings of the divine presence, La Yu Ela Bechelka Shabayama, will only be in the portion of Binyamin. Now, Kiyaz Labai, when Abai went, Amr Kamed Rav Yisuf, he said over this teaching that he heard from Rav Dimi, went to Rav Yisuf. And Amr Rav Yisuf said, Chad Bra Havale LeKayil. Kayil had one son, B'loi Misakin, and he's not even fixed, he's not even appropriate, which Rashi says, it seems to him that the father of Abai was Kailil, and look at this, his son saying over an inappropriate teaching. But the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Vayitash Mishkan Shiloh," that Hashem forsook the Mishkan, the tabernacle in Shiloh. And it says later on, "Vayimus Ba'el Yosef," that he was disgusted with the tent of Yosef, Ubeshevet Ephraim LeBachra, and in the tribe of Ephraim, which comes from Yosef, he didn't choose. So you see that Shiloh was in Yosef's portion, not in Binyamin's. So Ravada, he says, "My kakashile, what was Rav Yosef's difficulty? Dilma Shchina Bechelik Binyamin. Maybe the teaching that Abai said over." Well, from Rav Dimi, was correct. The divine presence in all those three places, including Shiloh, was in the portion of Binyamin. That's referring to the divine presence. Now, but the Sanhedrin Gedayla, but the great Sanhedrin, Bechelik Yosef, that was what was in the portion of Yosef. And when it's referring to Mishkan Shiloh and discussed with the Oil of Yosef, it's referring to that part of Mishkan Shiloh, which was where the Sanhedrin was, which was always in the temple complex. As we find by the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina Bechelka Shel Binyamin, although the Divine Presence was in the tribe of Binyamin, but the Sanhedrin, Bechelik Yehuda, we find that the Sanhedrin, although it was right there in the temple complex, was actually in the portion of Yehuda. And maybe that's what it was referring to with Chelik of Yosef, but the Shechina, the Divine Presence itself, was actually in the tribe of Binyamin. And that Omalei, and that Rav Yosef said back, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two? Hasa Mikar V'Nachlis Gabi Adadi. By the Beis HaMikdash, the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin were near each other. So you could say that the Sanhedrin were in one, and the Shechina was in the other one. But Hachami Mekarvin, over here, was Shiloh near the boundary of the portion of Binyamin? Was Yosef near Binyamin? How could you say that that's what it means, Shiloh was by Yosef, means the Sanhedrin, that the divine presence was by Binyamin? Says the Gemara, no, Hachinam Mekarvin. Here also they were near each other. How so? Kedama Reb Chama Reb Chanina. He explains, although Yehuda and Binyamin were near each other, but actually part of it was not. Now, however, there was a portion, a strip of land that came out of the portion which was given to Yehuda, and actually cut into the portion of Binyamin, and there was a portion of the altar built. And the Binyamin, the righteous one, was in pain about this, and he wanted to swallow up that part that was going into his boundary, which was taking away part of the sanctified area from his lot. So therefore, it says the Gemara Hachanam here also, we could say, there was a strip of land that went out of the portion of Yosef, that went into the portion of Binyamin. And that's what it says the passing Yeshua, Ta'ana Shiloi, meaning, as we said, from Aniyah of being misayin, of moaning, that Binyamin was being misayin on that, because just like by Yehuda, that the strip came in and took a part of the Mizbeach, so to over here, a strip of Yosef went in and took a portion where the Sanhedrin was on. And that's what he was in pain, that he wanted to swallow it up also by Yosef, and therefore that resolves the contradiction. Yes, the Shechina by Shiloh was in portion of Binyamin, but what it says, all the Yosef was actually referring to where the Sanhedrin was in that strip of land that came from Yosef into the portion of Binyamin. However, the Gemara says Kitanoi. Actually, it's Machlekes Tanoim. If the Mishkan Shiloi was in Binyamin, or maybe not, or it was like we said, maybe it was by Shevet Yosef, because the pasuk says Chayfif Alav, and the pasuk we brought in Devarim by the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Shvatim, so it says that referring to the divine presence in Sheva Binyamin that hovers over him. What does that refer to? Zemikdash Rishon, it's first in the first temple. Kol Hayom, the entire day, Zemikdash Sheni, that alludes to the second temple. Uvein Kasef of Shachin, between his shoulders, it rests. Elu Yemaisa Mashiach, that refers to the days of when the Mashiach is going to come. Now, therefore, it doesn't mention anything about Shiloh. It only starts from Bayis Rishon. So that could be like the other pin that says it was in Sheva Yosef. But Rabbi Aimer, he says, when it says hovers over him, that refers to the entirety of this world. Wherever the divine presence rested, including Shiloh and Noiv Givon, that was in the tribe of Binyamin. So they were, that's explicitly like that opinion that said that Shiloh was in Sheva Binyamin. Kol Hayom, the entire day, Eliyim Eisim Mashiach, it refers to the days of the end of the days when Mashiach is going to come. Uvein Kasev of Shachim, between his shoulders at rest, Zeho El Mabah, that refers to the world to come. And therefore it's a machlekes on there. Now, continuing on this discussion regarding the time period that the Mishnah said that it went from in Eretz Yisrael to Gilgal and Shiloh and Noiv Givon and the Beis HaMikdash, so turn and learn the Braisa that elaborates on this timeline that says, Yimei Oyel Moyed Shebem Midbar, starting all the way in the days of when the Jewish people just began after they left Mitzrayim, Egypt, they had 40 years of the Mishkan of the tent of the assembly in the desert. They were actually Arbam Shon Nechasa Achas. It was 40 minus 1, because it was only built in the second year. That was 39 years. Then you may Oil Moed Shebel Gilgal, the days that the tent of the assembly was in Gilgal when they came into Eretz Yisrael was Arbi Esri, was 14 years. You had the Zayin Shekav Shebel Zayin Shechalko, the 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael and the 7 years that it took to divide it. Then you may Oil Moed Shebel Neve Given, the days that the Mishkan was in Neve and Given, these two different places, were for a total of Chamish Meshebel, were 57 years. Nishtairu L'Shiloi, so then it was left over from where the Pasuk elsewhere describes that there was 480 years from the Jewish people left Egypt until when the first Beis HaMikdash was built. From all the times of the Eil Moed that we described, is left over for Shiloi, which was the rest, the lion's share of where the Mishkan was Gimel Meis V'Shiv M'Chasa Achas, is 370 minus 1, meaning for 369 years. Now the Gemara explains at length this Braisa. It said, Yimei Eil Moed Shebe Midbar, the days that the Eil Moed was in the desert, Arbam Chasar Achas was 39 years. Says the Gemara, Manon, where do we know this from? So says the Gemara, because the Amar Rav, because the Master says, Shana Rishayna Osa Moshe Esa Mishkan. The first year of when the Jewish people were just in the desert, so Moshe Rabbeinu was making the Mishkan, gathering all the tools and all the parts of the structure. And Shnei Hukma Mishkan, in the second year is when they erected the Mishkan, like the Pasuk says in Shmois Mem, Vahi B'Shana Sheinus, was in the second year, B'Chidish Rishon, the first month of Nisan, is when they erected the Mishkan. And they sent the Meraglim, the spies. So therefore, there was 39 years that the Mishkan was up, because they were in the desert for 40 years. Now, Shabbat Gilgal Arba Esrei, that it was in Gilgal when they came into Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. As we said, the Sheva Shekav Shabbat Sheva Chalko were the 7 years that they conquered and 7 years that they divided. Says the Gemara, how do we know this? Says the Gemara, because the Amar Kalev. Because Kalev said, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, at the time when they were dividing, after they conquered, the 7 years of conquering, then when they were coming to divide Eretz Yisrael, when Kalev was coming to claim his portion, which was the city of Hebron, so Kalev said, Ben Arbam Shana Neichi, I was 40 years old, B'shleich Moshe Eved Hashem Oisi Mekadosh Barnea, when Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Hashem, sent me from Kadosh Barnea, L'raga L'sarth, to go spy out the land, he was one of the 12 Meraglim, V'ashiv Oisei Dover Karshem Levavi, and I came back to him with my report, as it was with my heart. Now, they were sent in the second year, like we said just before. And so besides that year when they were sent, which was the second year, so they stayed in the Midbar another 38 years. Now, Ksiv, it says, Kalev continues, as the Pasuk says later on, at the time when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael, he says, V'ata, now, hine anoichi hayoim ben chamesh u'shmein m'shana, and today, I'm 85 years old. So it comes out, says the Gemara, ki avri liyardin bar kamahava, when they crossed over the Jordan, how old was Kalev? Bar shivin betamni. He was 78. Because like we said, he was 30, he was 40 years old when he was sent, plus another 38 years that they spent in the Midbar, makes him 78 years when they were crossing over. V'kama, and he's saying, ben chamesh b'shmein m'shana, and now he's saying when they were coming to divide Eretz Yisrael, he's 85. Harisheva, Shekavshu, those are 7 year difference, which was the 7 years that it took for them to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now that continues the Gemara, B'sheva Shechalk Melon, how do we know it took them 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael? So Ibai Sim, if you want, you could say Midisheva Shekavshu, from the fact that it took them 7 years to conquer, Sheva Namesh Shechalk, so it took them 7 years also to divide, which is just a svara from the fact that it doesn't say explicitly, we would think it was the same amount of time. Over Ibai Sim, if you want, you could say Midolei Meshkachaslo, from the fact that we wouldn't be able to resolve the calculations of the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that Yecheskel Hanavi said, where the pasuk there begins, and this is in Yechezkel Perek Mem Pasuk Aleph, Be'esrim b'chamesh shana legal useinu. In the 25th year of our exile, Beresh Hashanah, in the beginning of the year, Ba'asr l'chaydish, on the 10th of the month, as our Gemara quotes the pasuk, Ba'ar be'esrei shana achar asher huksa ir, 14 years after the city was smitten, was destroyed, on the essence of this day, Hashem was upon me, the hand of Hashem, and he brought me there, and he had this vision of the third base of Mikdash. Now, the Gemara in Erechin expounds this pasuk and says, how do you interpret the pasuk? It's calling it Rosh Hashanah, but it's saying it was in the 10th of the month. Rosh Hashanah is in the 1st in the month of Tishrei, not the 10th. So the Gemara in Erechin says it's referring to Yovel, because the beginning of the Yovel starts in Yom Kippur, so that's considered the Rosh Hashanah, so it's referring to the Yovel year. Now, additionally, the Jewish people did not count the cycles of Shemitah and Yovel, which every 7 years is a Shemitah year, and every after seven cycles of seven Shemitahs, which is after 49 years, the 50th year is the Yovel. They didn't start counting the Shemitah and Yovels until after they had Yerusha v'Yeshiva, until after they inherited and settled the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you're going to say, as the Gemara is proving, that the years of the conquering and dividing, and only then did they start counting Shemitah and Yovel, were for a period of 14 years, and those 14 years, as we said, was not counted from the period of the Yovel years, so then you could figure exactly the calculation of the pasuk that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 36th year of the Yovel cycles, and therefore comes out that the year of the Yovel was 14 years after the city was destroyed, which was exactly what Yechezkel was saying. He's saying it's, as we said, the pasuk is obviously talking about the Yovel years because it's calling Rosh Hashanah the 10th of the month, and it's calling it 14 years after the city was destroyed. Now, but if you're not going to say this, that it's the 14 years, then you're not going to have this calculation. How so? So Rashi explains. There was 480 years after the Jews left Egypt until the first Beis HaMikdash was built. Now, take away 40 years that they were in the desert. So it comes up from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until the first Beis HaMikdash was built was a period of 440 years. Now, the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. So that's a total of 850 years. Now, that makes an exact amount of 17 Yovel years, because 50 times 17. So we have for ourselves 450. Now, if you take away the 14 years that it took for them to conquer and divide, because like we said, you don't count the Yovel years until the Eretz Yisrael was settled. So it comes out that actually the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed before the completion of the Yovel year, 14 years before, because you're not counting those 14 years. As the Brisa teaches explicitly in Erechin over there, that there were 17 Yovels that they counted the Jewish people from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until they left. Now, but you cannot say that from when they came in they started counting, because if you're going to say that, that comes out actually the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the beginning of the Yovel cycle. And then you're not going to have that there's only 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rather, like the Gemara is proving, must be that the 7 years of conquering, the 7 years of dividing, were not from the calculations. And then you're going to come out that it's going to be actually 14 years after the city was destroyed, that then it was by the Yovel year. And that's how we know that it must be, if we know 7 years they conquered, so what's remaining is, must be 7 years they divided, and therefore those 14 years are not counted, and that's where we come into the calculation of this pasuk in the Sefer Yechezkel. Now, the Brisa continued and said, Oil Mayid should be never given. The tenth of the assembly that was in Noiv Enon given was Chamish Meshev, was a period of 57 years. And that is the Gemara Menon, we didn't know that from, which was after the destruction of Shili. So says the Gemara, which was up until when they built the Beis HaMikdash. So because the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, when the Pasuk there says, Vayihi Kaskiris Aroin Helakim, when they reminded Eli about the Ark of Hashem, which was that it was taken in captivity by the Pelishtim, so he was so taken by that it, like the pasuk says, Eli fell off his chair backwards and he passed away. Now, Batana, we learn in the Braisa, Kishemes Eli HaKoyin, when Eli HaKoyin passed away, Charva Shila was the time when Mishkan Shila was destroyed, Ubo Lanaiv, and that's when they came to Naiv. Now, Kishemes Shmuel Haramasi, when Shmuel Hanavi passed away, Charva Naiv, that's when Naiv was destroyed through Shaul, Ubo Lagiven, and then they came to Givin. Now, Uksib, the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Vayhi meyim sheves ha'orin b'kiryas ya'arim, that it was from when the ark was settled in Kiryas ya'arim, which was where it was put, after those 4 months that the ark was taken in captivity by the Pelishtim, which then the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph that Hashem brought them a lot of punishment, so then they brought it back with a new wagon and it was placed over there in Kiryas ya'arim. It says, Vayir b'hayamim v'yu esim shana, so the days increased, and it was there for a period of 20 years. V'yinohu kol beis Yisrael achar Hashem, and the entirety of the Jewish people were drawn after Hashem, up until that David took it from there, which was in the first year that he became king over the entirety of the Jewish people, which was the eighth year when he had become king over the area of Judea. Now, as the Gemara explains, Hani Esm Shana, these 20 years that it was in this Kiryas Yoharim, what do these 20 years correlate to? You have Esr Shana Shemalach Shmuel Ba'atzmai. You have the 10 years that Shmuel was king himself, meaning that he ruled over the Jewish people by himself, from when Eli had passed away up until when Shaul took over. As the Gemara in Temura, Daf Yudal Tesvav, says that there was 10 years that Shmuel ruled by himself, which was the year that, but then in the year that they had requested for them a king, that was the 10th year of Shmuel Horemasi. And then you have Vishana Shamalach Shmuel Vishal. You have the year that Shmuel and Shaul ruled together. Meaning, because then Shaul was following the advice and the counsel of Shmuel up until when Shaul made a critical mistake with the story of Agag. And then Shmuel removed himself from Shaul, like the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, that Shmuel didn't come anymore to see Shaul. And then you have Ishtayim Shamalach Shaul. Then you have the 2 years that Shaul ruled by himself, which is written there in the Pasuk. It says, B'shtei Shana Malach Al Yisrael, for 2 years he ruled over the Jewish people, which it doesn't count those years that he was with Shmuel, because as the Gemara says in Tainus Daf Hema Beis, who caused that Shaul should have continued to rule and give it for 2.5 years? It was the prayer of Shmuel HaRamasi, because half a year into his reign is when he soured, and it was decreed on him that he should die. But the tefillah of Shmuel is what sustained him. So that first year when he was with Shmuel, we don't count, but then 2 years he ruled by himself. And then you have a Sheva to David, you have the 7 years that David ruled in Hebron, only on the area of Judea, not in the entirety of the Jewish people. But when the Jewish people then made him king over all of them, then he had brought the Aron from this place, Kiryas Yoharim, to Ir David, which was for a period of 20 years. As we continue to talk about Kofi Tesim and Aleph, the Pasuk says, in Malachim Aleph, it says, Vayamim Asher Malach David al Yisrael Mem Shana. The period that David HaMelech ruled over the Jewish people was 40 years. How do we get 40? Bechevrin Malach Zayin Shanim. In Chevrin he ruled for 7 years, which was only over the area of Judea, etc. But Geimer, with the Pasuk continues, Ubi Yushalayim Malach, and Yushalayim he ruled when it was over the entirety of the Jewish people, was Shleish Mishalasham, was 33 years. So then you have the 33 years that it was in Ir David. Uvi Shleim Iksiv, and by Shleim HaMelech it says in Divri Yom Beis, by Yochel Livnois, that he began to build Bishnas Arba L'Machusei in his 4th year of his reign is when Shleim HaMelech began to build the Beis HaMikdash. So now we have the calculation of how many years the Mishkan was in Neiv given. Because you have, as we said, when did it go first to Neiv? It was in Shili up until the death of Eli. When Eli passed away, then it was removed from Shili and went to Neiv. Then when Shmuel passed away, it went to Givon. And how long was it Neiv and Givon? So we have the period that it was in Neiv, was with days of Shmuel. Then when Shmuel passed away, it went to Givon. How long did it last over there? It lasted in Givon up until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So you have the 20 years that we said that it was all together, even the Aron was in Neiv and Givon. Then you have the 33 years that it was taken to Ir David, the Aron, but the Mishkan was still in Givon. Plus the 4 years that it took for the beginning of the reign of Shlomo to start the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's for a total of 57 years, 20 plus 33 plus 4, that it was a Neiv given. And then once it started building the Beis HaMikdash, then it's counted already from the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, therefore, if Neiv given was 57 years, so Nishtari L'Shili, so we left for how long was the Mishkan in Shiloh? It comes out that it was, which was before that, Shalish Meis B'Shivim Chaser Achas, was 370 minus 1, it was 369 years. How do we know this? Because like we said, from when the Jews left Egypt up until the building of the first Beis HaMikdash was 480 years, like a Pasuk says. If you take away the 40 years of the Midbar, and you take away the 14 years it was in Gilgal, you take away the 57 years that it was in Neiv given, which was after Shiloh, the remaining amount is 369 years, and therefore that's how long the Mishkan was in Shiloh.